J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
I had just gotten the book, sir. I don't know.
Somebody gave it to you as a gift.
One of the boys gave it to me on the train. The title of the book was Poems That Touch the Heart.
Wise men say only fools wishin', but I can't help falling in love.
I read one in particular called Should You Go First?
Shall I stay? Would it be a sin? See, so it goes, some things were meant to be.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, January 6th, 2023, only 40 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. In addition to this being the one-year anniversary of the insurrection in Washington, D.C., this is also Elvis's birthday, which is why I played that thing from Bono. Those of you who were really on the ball knew what that was from the soundtrack of Honeymoon in Vegas. Remember the Nicolas Cage movie with Sarah Jessica Parker? And one of the things that I immediately remembered about that movie was there's a scene where Nicolas Cage is arguing with a gate agent at the airport. And they get into an argument, and the guy behind the desk says something like, you know, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And Nicolas Cage says something along the lines of, what are you going to do, put me in airport jail? Which at the time sounded really, really funny, but it ain't so funny anymore, is it? It was sort of a harbinger, as they say, or as dumb people say, a harbinger of things to come from the Department of Redundancy Department. These reporters yesterday during the conference call with the doctors in Cincinnati, the two doctors, fairly young guys, by the way. My general practitioner right now is 37 years old. And there's two schools of thought on that. You know, one is like, 37, saying, hey, dude, I've got serious health issues, and I don't need Doogie Howser coming after me here. That's one school of thought. The other one is, well, he's only been out of medical school a couple of years. He probably still remembers a lot of stuff that you should probably remember if you're a doctor. But anyhow, so they did a conference call. The way these things work is they invite members of the media, and in this particular case, it's, you know, the usuals. You got somebody from Fox, somebody from CNN, and then you've got all the local reporters, a couple of guys from radio stations in Buffalo and in Cincinnati, the local people. And after a couple of basic questions and the doctors making a statement, you know, basically bringing us up to date on what's going on with Damar Hamlin, they start asking if he's going to play football again. And the doctors, and this is no pun intended, the doctors were very patient about it. But I'm thinking to myself, tell these people they're idiots. This guy 2.5 days ago was laying on a football field, in essence, dead. They brought him back to life. He still can't even talk because he's got tubes running down his throat. And you guys are all asking whether or not he's ready to suit up. Jeez. Anyhow, the NFL formally announced yesterday that they're not going to replay that game. Both teams are already in the playoffs, so that won't be affected. Officials are meeting today to figure out seeding and other issues. They're thinking maybe to balance things out, they might play one of the playoff games in a neutral location. But there's other issues, too. There's players that have bonus language written into their contracts. And, you know, you make a certain number of receptions, certain number of touchdowns, certain number of yards, a certain number of sacks, stuff like that. And you need the entire full schedule to be able to attain those goals and get that bonus money. And if you have one less game, that stuff can all be affected. I don't know. Roger Goodell makes $44 million a year. Maybe they could shave off a couple of million and give that bonus money, spread it around a little bit if you want to make things fair. As I said the other day, I hope that Damar Hamlin's heart is in 100% operating order before they inform him that his charitable foundation, which was trying to raise $2,500, $2,500. That was the goal, so he could buy toys for underprivileged kids in the Buffalo area. $2,500. And right now, as a result of sympathy and empathy being expressed from sea to shining sea, they've raised about $7 million. All of this while he lay in a hospital bed in Cincinnati. They're gonna have to tell him that at some point. And when he hears it, you may need the defibrillator again. Jeez. Now, I got an entire list here of people who have donated money. A lot of really, really big names in and out of football. And owners from other teams and stuff like that have donated a lot of money. So it's good to see. One of my good friends back in Buffalo, apparently there was some sort of a tragedy involving a young mother, young family or something like that, and they were involved in something. I don't know if their house burned down or something. There was something really, really awful that had happened to this family. And my friend in Buffalo was saying, this is really, really nice and everything, that they're donating all of this money for toys for Damar Hamlin's foundation. But try to remember, there's other people struggling. Damar Hamlin, professional athlete for the last couple of years, probably has a little money in the bank. Even with the mounting medical bills, he's probably going to end up okay. And there's families with no notoriety attached to him who are struggling just as badly and need help in the Buffalo area. It just shows you that no matter what good deed you do, there's going to be somebody who's going to come along and say, that's great and everything. It's a wonderful outpouring of sympathy and emotion and everything for Damar Hamlin and his family. But maybe we got to spread some of this around. It's an interesting point. I'll say that. And you can tell there's something wrong with the world when Damar Hamlin, laying in his hospital bed in Cincinnati, displayed more movement than the Republicans voting for Speaker of the House. How much longer are they going to let this go on? Because you know that our allies, and especially our enemies, you know, Putin sitting over there going, ha, ha, there you go, folks, you want democracy, huh? This is what you get. Look at this. Hey, if they'll use Tucker Carlson's show and show clips of that in Russia to try to convince the Russian people that they're actually better off with their system of government, then they'll use this too. Let me just see what they're saying here real quick.
64-43 with only one Republican.
Oh, that's the weapons ban in Illinois. Oh, that's going to be a fun story for a lot of people. It's Friday. I don't even want to get into that. You know, when you do the podcast on Friday, you think to yourself, and this is JC speaking to himself, by the way, I guess I'm extra careful about what I say and how I say it because it's going to run for 3 fucking days. So you better know what you're talking about here. I would like to say congratulations to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, who yesterday evening at 5:53 p.m., so right before 6 o'clock yesterday evening, finally got around to posting the Brad Thompson story about the fact that he was stepping away, for the most part, from his duties at 101 ESPN to spend more family time and to pick up a few more games and have a little more to do with Bally Sports in the upcoming Cardinals season. And the Post-Dispatch got around to posting that story at 5:53 yesterday evening, a little more than 24 hours after we had it on our Facebook page at the Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Shh, shh, shh. Don't make any loud noises. We don't want to wake up the people at the Post-Dispatch. Boy, I'm telling you, Mo, Larry, Curly, and Holloman running that place. Because this is the first anniversary of the January 6th insurrection, it'll be interesting to see what we end up seeing on our television screens over the course of the weekend. A lot of people doing retrospectives and stuff like that. The guy who inspired the entire thing just still walking around a free man. How is that possible? America, America. This is also the anniversary of one of my favorite stories that I get to tell, and I swear to you, this is all true. My imagination is not fertile enough to have come up with a phony story like this. This is really good because it goes all the way back to 1986. Now, you have to understand something. In 1986, the world was so much different in so many different ways, and I was still a, fairly new reporter for Channel 5 at the time. And they would send me out on the entertainment stuff. So, you know, comedians would come to town, you know, Jay Leno, Dennis Miller. Or whatever. I would go out and I would do those interviews, and we would bring those to you on Channel 5. Also interviewed, in addition to comedians, rock and roll bands, some stuff on movies. At that time, I was sort of splitting the duties with Joe Pollack from the Post-Dispatch, who had seniority over me. And that was fine because he was the serious, legitimate journalist from the newspaper. And at that time, you worked for the newspaper, you know, you were the shit. I'm the goofy radio guy doing the morning zoo on Keishi. It's a surprise they even let me in the Channel 5 building, let alone put me on TV a couple of times a week. So I'm sitting there and Joe would do his story and then I would do my story. And I was also, you know, trying to do some stuff that maybe hadn't been done on television, much the way I approached the radio thing. Let's see if we can do some things that haven't been done in St. Louis before. And so it was that I went to the forces that be at Channel 5, and I said, look, there's this act coming into, and what was the name? Was it the Executive Inn? Is that the name of it up on Lindbergh? God, my memory is failing me here, but it's not essential to the story. But it was like one of those places with a giant ballroom. You know, you go in there and it would hold like 1,000 people. And they had those partitions. So you could put a partition down and make it smaller or larger as the case may be. And I said, look, they got this act coming in called Hot Stuff, H-A-U-T-E, Hot Stuff. And it's like a Chippendales thing. It's a knockoff of the Chippendales. And it's coming in here. It's cold outside. It was about 20 degrees, and there was snow all over the ground, but there was going to be heat generated, both figuratively and literally, in that giant ballroom. And how about I go in and I interview these guys who are the dancers, but also interview the women and talk to them about why they are there. Let's shake things up a little bit, all right? Let's see if we can give Rich Koster, who worked in the newsroom, you see, give him a conniption fit. I would do stories, and individual reporters at the TV station would go into the newsroom office there, into the and sometimes all the way upstairs into the general manager's office, and complain about what I was doing. And they would be turned away from my bosses, who were very, very supportive of me, who would simply say, no, you don't understand. We hired him to do stuff like this. It's not like he's just some sort of loose cannon running around through the newsroom causing disrepute for Channel 5 News. We want him to do this. We hired him to do this. And these individual people in the Channel 5 newsroom we'll just go back to their desk and go, mwah, mwah. It was pretty hilarious. So anyhow, they're like, yeah, okay, go ahead, do that story. Just, you know, be careful how you shoot it and everything. We don't need to see giant penises barely concealed by a little piece of cloth. You know how to shoot this. I'm like, yeah. Plus, you know, the photographer that they gave to me was a not out of the closet lesbian woman. And so I thought this would be sort of interesting. So we pull up out in front. We walk into this place. The music is just already pounding. These guys are on stage. And I swear to God, there must have been 900 women in this place. It was packed. Remember when I said that thing about heat, both figuratively and literally? Because we came in from the cold. I remember it was a brutally cold night that night. We walked in and were like, oh, man, it's warm in here. Then you open up the doors to the actual ballroom where the show is going on. And the temperature went up about another 15 degrees with all that body heat in there. And so I told this photographer, I said, all right, shoot this and this and this, and then get a shot of this and get a shot of this, and just do all that for about 20 minutes or so. I'll meet you right back here at this spot in about 20 minutes. You shoot all this stuff I asked you to shoot. I'm going to sort of go walk around and assess the situation. Okay, fine. She heads out. Very, very good photographer. So I'm sort of standing there on the fringe of this whole thing, taking it all in, and it dawns on me, I look around, and aside from the guys on stage, I am the only male human being in this place. And it must have been by design. The venue may have had some sort of policy that I was unaware of that basically said, no man allowed. Which, you know, and again, I don't know how you can enforce something like that. But all I know is right about at that moment where I realized I was only the only man in the place, I was suddenly put into a half Nelson by somebody who felt very, very large behind me and dragged me out of the ballroom and sort of gave me a little push like, get the hell out of here. It was a security guy, one of the security guys they had hired to maintain order, I guess you would say, at this event, thought that I had crashed this event. And so he saw it as his official duty to put me in a half Nelson and give me the boot. I'm like, you idiot. I'm a reporter. And he didn't believe me, by the way, because I didn't have anything with me that would have, I didn't have a, like in the 1940s, a fedora with a press pass stuck in the little band. I didn't have a microphone with me. The photographer had all of the equipment. I didn't have anything. I'm just walking around. The guy gives me the boot. It took a while to convince him that I was legitimate. By the way, he was apparently not a fan of the show. Not a fan of the show. Hot stuff on this date back in 1986. Wow. All right, opening of Colbert last night.
Republicans are deadlocked in disarray in the House of Representatives over the battle for a new speaker.
The Republicans are in disarray. They do not have a leader.
Growing chaos in the House of Representatives.
They've been looking more distressed. His dream's a mess. He failed the test. Now it's been 10 times. His plans have all unraveled. To win the gavel, he'll crawl through gravel, then hand his nuts to her. Our house, where the votes go on and on. Our house, mostly run by QAnon. Our house, filled with nihilistic rage. Our house, this guy likes them underage. Our house,
Mad Gates,
mostly filled with jerks and crooks. Our house, look how happiness is.
Nancy Pelosi. Oh, man. It was pretty good stuff last night. All right. Prince Harry is going to be on Colbert on Tuesday night in what I'm told is an exclusive interview. So if, in fact, that's the case, and I don't think Colbert would have said it if it wasn't true. So because, you know, as opposed to politics, there's accountability in the broadcast industry. Anyhow, the book is coming out, and as they always do in books like this, they release little snippets, like one a day leading up to the actual release of the book. And we did one yesterday, and now it says that Prince Harry, he attended Prince William's wedding with a frostbitten penis, thanks to an expedition to the North Pole in March of 2011. Here's the quote. It was becoming more of an issue by the day, end quote. They say the royals are very stiff, apparently in more ways than one. This movie, 80 for Brady, starring Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin, Rita Moreno, and Sally Field. We'll have a song on the soundtrack sung by Dolly Parton, Debbie Harry, Cindy Lauper, Gloria Estefan, and Belinda Carlisle. I can smell this one from here. Again, for non-sports fans, they may have a little difficulty getting their head around this one. That on Saturday night on both ABC and ESPN, again, Saturday night is the 53rd season finale of Monday Night Football. Back-to-back games. Raiders and the Chiefs, 4:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. Jacksonville hosting Tennessee at night. Sunday Night Football, Packers hosting the Lions. That's right, the 53rd season finale of Monday Night Football this Saturday night. Avatar, The Way of Water, surpassed Top Gun Maverick at the global box office to become the highest grossing film of 2022. $1.51 billion, also now at number 10 on the list of top grossing films of all time. Saturday Night Live, Aubrey Plaza. That's not this weekend, that's coming up on the 21st, but they're already plugging that, and then Michael B. Jordan is going to host on the 28th. A partial schedule of The Daily Show. Guest hosts have been announced. They got Chelsea Handler, a bunch of other comedians in there. Eagles have added more Hotel California tour dates. Grammys are going to hand out Lifetime Achievement Awards to the Supremes. Nirvana, Bobby McFerrin, and Anna Nancy Wilson of Heart are going to get a Lifetime Achievement Award. Good for them. And Vince McMahon plotting return to the WWE 6 months after he stepped down amid allegations he paid a former employee hush money to hide an affair. That's a slick, clean as a whistle business, isn't it? I've always been fascinated by the idea of time capsules. You know, back in the day, before we had all this electronic media and the internet and, you know, just the technology that's available now, it was a very, very analog way of trying to bring history from 100 years ago up to the present time and show everybody how we used to live 100 years ago compared to how we live now. I don't know anybody that's doing time capsules now because it's just not a thing anymore for obvious reasons that I just laid out. The other thing is sometimes you go back to these guys they call like futurists, like a Paul Ehrlich type guy, but they had them in the beginning of the 20th century too. I mean, they've always had people sitting around going, okay, you know, we think that we can see into the future. Here's what life will be like 100 years from now. When we watched the Jetsons back in the 60s, we really thought that by the 1980s or so, we would have flying cars. And a lot of the stuff on the Jetsons, you sit there and you'd go, yeah, I could see that. Lost in Space was like that too. They had an episode where somebody showed up on the planet that they were stranded on and they had broken an arm and they just went to the spaceship and pulled out this little band, put it around their arm, and in 24 hours, the arm wasn't broken anymore. So, you know, it's fun to sort of look ahead, look behind. I like that kind of stuff. So somebody went through some old newspaper articles from 1923 and tried to see what the experts were predicting for us 100 years ago. And some of the predictions turned out right. For example, constant airline traffic, America's population topping 300 million people, and being able to talk to somebody in real time through your wristwatch. So they were right about all that stuff, but they missed a couple, and those are funnier. People will work for a max of 4 hours a day. No ugly people. They thought beauty pageants would become obsolete because it would be almost impossible to choose a winner. Because, I don't know, through the selective breeding process, well, if they went to West County, they'd see that they were right. Women will paint their teeth black to be fashionable. Gasoline will be replaced by radio waves. The average life expectancy will be 100 years old. One guy said 300 years old. Flying from Chicago to Germany will only take 18 hours. Cancer will be eradicated. Homes won't have kitchens anymore. That one basically said that we'd have ways to make food using, quote, chemical formulas we wouldn't need to cook. And then telepathy will exist. The one said we'd even be able to speak telepathically with babies. And then there's something called kidney koozies, like beer koozies, but to keep your internal organs warm. all of this, predictions from 1923. You've heard me talk about this before, but if you could sort of magically bring somebody back from 1923 and drop them into today's society, what do you think they'd be most impressed by? What do you think they'd be most shocked by? Things that they would go, holy shit, you got to be kidding me. You're doing what? And I think all you'd have to do is drop them off in a shopping mall, particularly in the summer, and see how 17-year-old girls are dressed. I don't think anybody would believe that. And I think I can back that up because sometimes I can't believe it. And there is a, what I think, an eventual natural progression in this whole women's fashion thing, because it used to be you had to be modest. You had to wear a bra because you don't want to go into an air-conditioned place in the middle of summer and all of a sudden here come the party hats. A woman would never have dreamed of wearing some thin pants that were so tight that you would think that the woman was attempting to present herself to you gynecologically, shall we say. Well, now they're selling pants to women that whether you have camel toe or not, it will look like you do. The yoga pants. Up until about, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, a year ago, you had the yoga pants skin tight, thin, and that was, shall we say, enticing enough. Well, now, of course, all you got to do is walk through the mall. You can see they have the yoga pants that actually have fabric that is cut in such a way that it actually crawls up the crack of your ass. So it's not no longer that it's just tight across your sweet cheeks, but now it actually goes up there into your butthole. So they look even tighter and more form-fitting. So the next question becomes, what's next? I mean, where do you go with all this? At some point, I think it's going to lead to public nudity. You know, you're already seeing women on the red carpet and stuff wearing dresses that are deliberately constructed in such a way that you can see right through them. So at some point, you know, J-Lo or the Kardashians or something like that are going to say, let's quit fucking around. If we're going to do this, let's do it. And they're just going to show up with their tits out. I'm telling you, it's coming. I hope I'm still alive to see it. A website claims the sexiest names for men are Jack and Nick, while Mary and Rachel are the sexiest female names. Mary? For men, Jack is number one, followed by Nick, James, Ben, Peter, and Joe. For women, Mary number one, followed by Rachel, Kate, Julia, Eva, or Ava, Susan, Sophie, Mia, Julie, Bella, and Anna. There is a $3,300 machine that you can buy that is on display at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas this week. It is a $3,300 self-driving baby stroller. You put the baby in the stroller, and then you get back to business on your phone. And is a work commute good for you? Those of you who are working from home now, maybe there's something about the whole thing that you miss. Researchers say traveling more than 15 miles from home regularly is better for your mental and physical well-being than working from home. Guinness, not the beer people, we're talking about the Guinness World Book Record thing, announced that a bird broke a world record by flying 8,435 miles nonstop from Alaska to Australia. It's a type of bird called a bar-tailed godwit that had a tracker on it. It flew 11 straight days without stopping to eat or rest. That's not a bird anymore. That's a machine. It's a drone. A study on the physics of skipping stones across water found it might be fun to use round rocks sometimes. Flat rocks will give you more skips, but heavier, rounder stones are more likely to give you one big mega bounce. Somebody got research money to be able to conduct that study. And one of the other weird gadgets at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas this week, well, there's a couple. A toilet sensor to analyze your pee. BMW's color-changing car. You say, I'll take the blue one. Oh, you like blue? Well, no, I wanted the yellow one, but you know, I have yellow. You push a button and it changes the color of the car. How about an oven that lets you live stream food while it cooks? A huggable anti-anxiety pillow that breathes like it's alive, and a locker that deodorizes your smelly shoes in 37 minutes. All right, birthdays today, Friday, January 6th. Kate McKinnon, formerly of Saturday Night Live, 39. Eric Trump, interestingly considered a celebrity, 39. Eddie Redmayne, 41. Julie Chen, 53. Gabrielle Reese, 6'3", size 8 dress, size 11 shoes, 53 years old. Howie Long, 63. Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, is 68. Birthdays on Saturday, Lauren Cohen from The Walking Dead, 41. Jeremy Renner, who's lucky to be alive, getting run over by a 20,000-pound snow grooming machine, 52. Nicolas Cage, 59. Rand Paul, 60. Kathy Valentine, the bass player of the Go-Go's, 64. Donna Rice, Gary Hart's side action, knocked him off as a presidential candidate, 65 today. Katie Couric, 66. David Caruso from CSI Miami, 67. Kenny Loggins is 75. Jan Wenner, Rolling Stone founder and publisher, 77. Sunday, Kim Jong-un, 39. Gabby Hoffman from Transparent, from Field of Dreams, from Girls, from that series they did with John C. Reilly on HBO about the L.A. Lakers. She's 41 today. R. Kelly, 56. Robbie Krieger, who wrote Light My Fire for The Doors, 77. Bob Eubanks, host of The Newlywed Game, 85. Rolling Stones headed out on their first tour as headliners on this date back in 1964. The Ronettes, the opening act. And it was on this date in 1993 that I hopped aboard a big old jet airliner for New York City, where I actually had to wear a suit and a tie and all this sort of stuff because I was going on a mission to interview the stars, if you will, of CBS News. I was working at Channel 4 at the time, a CBS affiliate, and they're like, go on out there and interview Andy Rooney and Dan Rather and the people from 48 Hours. And Steve Croft from 60 Minutes. And then while you're there, since Viacom was the owner of MTV, go over there and interview all the MTV people like Kurt Loder, who was the news guy, Dave Sirulnik, who is a name you don't recognize, but he was the news director. He sort of ran the entire place. And I hopped on that plane, and I was upgraded to first class because I had so many frequent flyer miles that I was always upgraded to first class. So I'm sitting there, and behind me, in the two seats directly behind me, the newly appointed general manager and program director of the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Del Mar Gardens, KMOX, general manager Rod Zimmerman, and program director Tom Langmeier. And I knew who they were, and they didn't know a lot about me, but we talked pretty much the entire flight. They were going to New York for some corporate meetings with CBS or something like that, but, you know, we talked for the entire time. Long story made short, I got back from the trip a couple of days later. Hi, this is KMOX. How would you feel about coming over? I'm like, what, for lunch? Like, no, to do the afternoon show on KMOX. And like a dope, I said yes. I lasted 53 days, and I'm very proud of that. They thought they were going to turn me into them, and I wouldn't do it.
KMOX Radio News Time, 3:07, and now a statement from CBS Regional Vice President Rod Zimmerman, General Manager of KMOX Radio.
I wanted to let the KMOX audience hear the news from me. J.C. Corcoran is no longer employed at KMOX. When Mr. Corcoran joined the station a few months ago, I hoped he'd be able to channel his talents as a member of the formidable KMOX broadcast team. But now it's apparent to me that my decision was incorrect. I feel, however, that correcting the situation as soon as possible is the best way to achieve our goals.
So much for that idea. And Southwest Airlines giving passengers affected by the meltdown 25,000 frequent flyer points for everybody. And now they can use those points to book another flight on Southwest, where they get to spend 5 fun-filled days sleeping in an airport while their bags go on an exciting journey across the world. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, January 6, 2023 is in the can. 40 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. Now, you can always get me at jc@jcontheline.com. That's my email address. Or on my Facebook page, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Please help spread the word that we are here doing the podcast every weekday morning right about this time. Enjoy your weekend. Back on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.